Our first and only review of the day is going to be for the anime series Afro Samurai. Afro Samurai is an anime. They are based off a manga. And this manga was created by Takahashi Okazai. Was created by, developed there. And this was, the anime was made by Gonzo back in 07. So it's been a while. It's been a long time since this anime has been released. And I remember this anime way back when it came out. You guys remember watching this at all back in 07?
I remember seeing it.
Yeah.
And I also really remember distinctively because of the distinctive like art style it has, how, you know what I mean? The character of Afro Samurai has hair and headband always flows in the wind there that you see. And also the incredibly graphic violence that is in this show. Tons of blood going everywhere. People being sliced in half. Very, very gory show. So you'll definitely see that. And so what is this about? So, well, there's a dude with an afro and he's a samurai. That's obvious there. We got that. We see that in the trailer there. And you have this system where, when he was a child, he watched his father die. He had the number two headband. And when you have the number two headband, it's all about that's the only chance you have of challenging the person with the number one headband. And you can't do that. You can't just jump the system, you know. So it's actually more dangerous to have the number two headband than it is to have the number one, because all the challenges are going to be coming after you as a number two. His father there had the number two headband, challenged the person who had the number one headband, and that was voiced by Ron Perlman. You hear a lot of kind of big time voice actors come in here, famous celebrities. Samuel Jackson, who does double duty in this show, he voices Afro Samurai, and he voices kind of an imaginary friend in this, who's that character right there called Ninja Ninja. So you have that. So watches his father die, then he dedicates his life to revenge. He wants to come back and get the person who killed his father, becoming the greatest warrior ever, getting the number two headband, so he can eventually challenge Ron Perlman's character and fight him for the number one headband. But it's really not about the headband. He really doesn't care. It's about the revenge. It's about the, you know, concept of that. In this world, it's set in, it is set in a feudal type Japan, but there's also, with the addition of robots and super technology, people coming who can come back from the dead because of science, Frankenstein like creatures. There's cyborgs that get made of individuals, very superhero type element there with a lot of the fighting. Very much, yeah. I mean, you know, don't get your history lessons as far as what Japan was like from Afro Samurai. I would say that definitely. So this was, like I said, short series, only 5 episodes of the anime. Then they did a movie called Afro Samurai Resurrection there. That's also available, which I saw as well. So you guys both saw the anime series and the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So let me get some of you guys' thoughts on this. Josh, what are your thoughts on Afro Samurai?
To kind of like tackle what you were just saying about the timeline, it gives like a Samurai Jack kind of vibe, like with the mixing of the technology robots with the samurai fighting with just the sword. But overall, it's one of my like favorite nostalgic animes, just off the fact that it wasn't so long of a story building. We got the story, we got right to it, we learned what was going on, we got to an ending, we got the movie, and it was just as well paced. So I kind of liked it because it was an easy watch. Like back then, you know, being a kid, you didn't have the attention span to watch 12 episodes, 13 episodes all the time. So you're giving us 5, and then it's Samuel L. Jackson, so who we all worshiped as a kid. Like he was, you know, a legend for real. So it was like we all adored it. And then the violence was cool. Like, I really like how the different styles, like, he didn't slice everybody the same way or everybody didn't bleed out the same way. Like, it was a real fight. Real good choreographed fights. Like, it just showed the music selection was crazy. RZA did his thing. Shout out to the Wu-Tang Clan for sure. The only thing I'd say, like, I didn't really like was, like, we didn't really get nothing after. Like, is he just retired now or, like, what's going on? Did they stop coming for everything that happened? Did the system change with the headbands? Like, I really wish we had a more solidified ending for me personally.
Okay. Sage, what about you?
Yeah, I remember watching this when it first came out, and it's one of those. I've got the physical copy on the shelf over here. It's one of those where I'll put it on in the background to do like any other thing too, because it with the sound design and the music and the animation and the fact that the story is so simple, it almost kind of keeps itself in the realm of archetypes when it comes to how it handles its characters, which I think is really cool. It's something that's just so. It's violent and kind of chaotic as it is as like a story, what's happening in a literal sense. It's almost soothing as a piece of entertainment because it is so, it is so easy to go with and understand the flow of it. I mean, the animation is that art style, which I mean, as far as I know, we've never seen anywhere else or replicated again. I already mentioned the music. I think it's impossible to talk about it without saying something about that. It's a really good soundtrack. And I one thing I went to look at too before we came to talk about this was if there were any differences between the book and the show. And there's actually like a slightly different ending in the book, and they did a video game also back in like 2008, seven, something like that. And there's some really interesting differences in the dialogue. And in particular, if you're talking about Ron Perlman's character in the manga and the video game, he's dead already by the time Aphra gets up there to him. And it's like this kind of inner mindscape battle instead of a literal one it is in the show. I just thought that was an interesting difference.
Talk about the voice cast a little bit. We mentioned Samuel Jackson. You also have some other kind of voices you may recognize here. And this is the video game, by the way, as well, of Afro Samurai there, which I never played. I never played this video
No.
game. But seems like if they did like a Afro Samurai game now, it seems like it probably if you could kind of get some inspiration from maybe God of War, Devil May Cry, or Hi-Fi Rush, maybe even you can get some inspiration from that and do it. Do that art style, but you also have so in this voice cast wise, you got Mark Hamill, you got Lucy Liu, you got Kelly Hu, you got Ron Perlman, you got Steve Blum, who is also a big voice there in the anime community, Cowboy Bebop, Samurai Champloo there, James Arnold Taylor, you got Tara Strong in this, Phil Lamar, who's the voice who voices younger teenage Afro Samurai there, John DiMaggio, people know he voiced Bender in Futurama, also voices the character in Adventure Time. So nice, really great cast there. You also have Terrence C. Carson as well, who, speaking of God of War, he was also the voice of the first Kratos. He was also the younger voice of Kratos there. Speaking of God of War. So yeah, you have a variety of kind of different voices coming in here. And like I said, show's pretty much clear-cut narrative, right? It's all about this guy trying to go get this number one headband. And with kind of very stylized, we just did a review of Samurai Champloo. Kind of reminds you a little bit of that, especially how it uses music, hip hop as well. The creator of that, Watanabe, big fan of hip hop, big fan of that type of music, and then infused that into a show, jazz. You can see that as well with Cowboy Bebop. Creator of this as well, big fan of also those things, and wanted to do a show focused on the black lead, black protagonist that you have here. I thought that was pretty good there. Him being a fan of hip hop and soul music. Do you think it kind of is comparable to something like Samurai Champloo as far as the way it uses music, and the way it kind of brings it in there?
I think it's definitely similar, at least. I do feel like Samurai Champloo maybe uses it just a little bit more in terms of like the editing of the visuals in the story itself. But I mean, the Afro Samurai's vibe is so well matched with its visuals and its music that I definitely think it's at least similar.
What about you?
I'd say it's more so like a inspiration. Like, you feel me? Like, okay, I seen what they did. This is what I would put my own like touch on it, but still use that same basis. Because like I feel like the music and Shampoo was more so like for the scenery and like, to set the mood of what was going on in the anime. Whereas in the music and Afro Samurai was like picking up to make you, for lack of better words, pay attention. Like it was like, hey, something's about to go on. So like the music was changing as like a suspenseful or thriller or a sad death or whatever the case may have been. Like it was more so like we're using this to push an emotion, whereas Samurai Champloo was more so we're setting the scene with the music.
Okay. Yeah. And like I mentioned, the, you know, kind of action of the show, and kind of thing. Also, you know, do you think the show has very much of like anime kind of references? I mean, more of kind of a Western influence on the anime, more so because of the hip hop, because of the soul music, and because of the action in it. Because it kind of watching it reminded me a little bit of, you know, like Kill Bill or something like that, the way that kind of happened there, which Kill Bill itself is very anime inspired, just in terms of the way the blood is kind of going everywhere, spurting out like that. What do you all think about that? The Western kind of influence there that's in something like Afro Samurai.
I definitely see it. I think it's definitely there. And there's a lot of those 70s movies too, where it's got that very grindhouse kind of over the top violent feel. And I definitely think it's channeling some of those cinematic influences.
Blaxploitation type element also there, especially the way some of the characters talk, ninja, especially Samuel Jackson, because you get two types of Samuel Jackson. You get over the top Samuel Jackson, and then you get, you know, it's kind of more silent, reserved Samuel Jackson in this. Josh, what about you? What kind of your thoughts there on that?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like it took an inspiration from a lot of different things, I feel like, and came together as a complete project based off of everything it got from other places, because, like, I can't think of another anime where the main character, like, basically had an internal battle with an imaginary friend about, like, decisions almost. Like, I can't really think of another one. So, like, that was a cool little aspect. But I've seen other animes where, like, the main character would see something or hear something that nobody else could see in their world. So, like, okay, cool, it was on a similar pretense, but we did a one whole level, and then they were alternate personalities, which also, like, hit really hard. So I feel like it took inspiration from a lot of different fields of anime, movie, and music, and then it's like, we're going to put this complete project together and see what the result was, and it was phenomenal, honestly.
And did you, the setting of like this futuristic type of Japan of like not knowing exactly what setting it was in, because like I said, you do have this element of like robots, cyborgs that come out. You know, there's even a point where they do a cyborg of Afro Samurai, and so like they copy his skills and abilities and make him a robot, and send the robot after to kill Afro Samurai. You see in this show like one of the antagonists of the Empty Seven Clan, and they are like a group of assassins that are trying to, you know, kill him to get the headband there. And some also just kind of just want revenge for killing all these people and then him leaving all these hundreds of bodies in his wake there. Did that kind of throw you off at all, like seeing it kind of in the setting, or you just kind of went with it?
I feel like it set a tone for how serious things were, because like you were saying, you can't fight the number one without the number two. So everybody was gunning for the number two. So like it was expected, like he was going to be all day brawl, not being able to sleep. You know, have to sleep with one eye open. You can't eat. You can't walk around or just be a normal person because you have this number two headband. Now, when you had number one, it's a little bit easier because now you know the only number two can chase you. So it's like when he had that number two headband, we were pretty much so like, okay, it's going to get serious every time he's outside. Every time he's found, it's going to get serious. Now, as far as the technology part, like I said, it gave me a Samurai Jack kind of vibe because, like, Aku was a demon, but he used robots and cyborgs and portals and all that. But Samurai Jack was from the age of samurai, so it was like I was already kind of like warmed up to the futuristic samurai type vibe. The Tekken vibe with Yoshimitsu, because he's a cyborg in a hand-to-hand combat type of world. Like, we were already kind of getting exposed to all that, so I kind of like was warmed up to the idea, and it was. It wasn't like shocking or nothing. Like, it was more so like, okay, I see where this is going early.
And this is Samurai Jack right here, by the way. I see where that kind of, yeah, very futuristic.
See what I'm saying? Like, some of them are ninjas. Some people are the special powered. I don't know. I forgot what they were called. But then, like, he was regular samurai, but he had a gun. Like, samurais wouldn't use a gun. Like, that was against their principles, you know? Like, but he had to do what he had to do.
And you see, like each character has their own unique design and kind of the way they are and the way they look. You even have a character who comes back from Afro Samurai from his past, that comes back to kind of fight him. He's got the Kanye West teddy bear, graduation hit on there, where he's kind of fighting with the two swords, which was really nice. You got to think of him being a fan of hip hop. He probably threw that in there because I think Graduation came out the same year as this anime. I think
it was seven or eight, one of those.
Yeah. Sage, do you like the kind of different boss battles that you have in this show?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was very fun. I think it sticks to almost kind of broad archetypes for a lot of the characters, which I think when it's this short and it's telling a story about something, it's kind of a more simple revenge story in a lot of ways. I think having these strong action sequences, these super fluid movements, the Terminator fight, I think is probably my favorite personally, with flying up into the air and everything. Yeah, I thought that worked really well. I mean, you get like a bit of backstory, get a little bit of travel, get a boss fight at the end. I don't think it's not long enough for that formula to wear out. You know, it doesn't wear out its welcome because it's able to do that just a couple of times in such a short amount of time. I think it paces itself well with that.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite boss battle on this? I don't.
The guy he took the number two headband from at the ramen shop in the movie when he was. The guy was basically protecting the little boy, and Afro was talking to him the whole time and didn't know that that's what he was looking for the whole time. And then when the truth came out, we had like a good old fashioned standoff before their battle. Like, the fight wasn't as long, but the setup for the fight, because we didn't know who this guy was he was talking to. And then when the truth came out, it was like, oh, so the whole time you were talking to the person you were looking for. So now it's time to get it cracking. And then we know Afro ended up winning, of course, but the fight was pretty solid. That was probably my favorite boss for sure.
Yeah, you bring up the movie. So Afro Samurai Resurrection here, which was the movie. And this came out in, let me see here, this came out in 2009. So it came out a couple years after the anime. And then here you see in the anime that Afro Samurai is basically retired. You know, like you said, it really wasn't about the headband, because once you have kind of the number one headband, that's like the most important status symbol you can have in this world, because you're basically untouchable there. You're like a god almost, as Ron Perlman says there, with the number one headband. So, you know, really wasn't really too much about that. So now he's kind of retired, but he gets brought out of retirement because you have Gino, who was the villain in the series. And then you also have his sister, who is voiced by Lucy Liu. And then they kind of come there and they kind of, you know, drag him out and want to, you know, kind of fight him, end up taking his headband, number one. They end up donning it. So he has to go and find the number two headband there again. He has to go on that search and that journey in order so he can actually properly challenge her. And then in the midst of doing that, they're also taking his father and resurrecting him. And, you know, he's going to fight a cyborg, reincarnated version of his father, Frankenstein type creature here, and him dealing with that. Yeah, what did you all think about the movie there, Sage? What kind of your opinion on the movie?
You know, I think it carries the art style really well, right? I think it lives up to the soundtrack, the art, the motion, the fight scenes. I do think that the movie can feel a little superfluous as an extension, because I do think it ultimately kind of ends in the exact same spot that the show does. So I do come away from it wondering how much like character did it really add to the story. And it's not to say it's bad either. I did enjoy watching it. I think, you know, if you're into this for the aesthetic, which I think is a big part of what makes it work, the movie has that.
And still really great. I mean, this is one of the opening scenes of the movie here, this fight right here on the bridge. And again, unique kind of fighters here. You got fencers here fighting them, which is pretty good. I kind of see your point a little bit about the movie as far as like it is a lot of the same thing again. You know what I mean? Well, you see the journey of him kind of fighting again to get the number two, to challenge the number one person with the headband again. Also, you know, commentary a little bit about revenge, as much as the show was about, you know, that's always that common phrase with revenge, is like, if you're gonna seek revenge, you know, you better dig two graves there, because you're gonna be, you know, basically dead yourself. And it's always a never stop battle there of revenge, and he's consumed by it. I mean, consumed by revenge, consumed by hatred there, and getting after that number one headband to kill Ron Perlman's character, who in this is named Justice, by the way. What did you really like about the movie there, Josh?
I think it could have, for me, it could have doubled as a second season, or a movie because I like you like Sage was saying, it's the same premise pretty much. But it also go back to what I was saying earlier about like not having a real clear cut ending, like it just stops. So it was like, eh, I don't know. But like overall it was solid. Like I enjoyed the new action. It was kind of, I wouldn't say updated, but like it was like a more modern for the time type of that art style. And I like the addition of people from his past, like the child friend from the same dojo and all that, seeing what he was like as a kid. Because from the original one, we pretty much just saw him go from child to adult. So this kind of like dived into it a little bit. And I really like that. But yeah, the only real like negative I take away is like the ending. Like it was just like, okay, we're here. It's the end of the road. What's next?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, basically, this is kind of the mantra here.
It begins again.
I mean, basically, that's it. I mean, it kind of just begins again. Yeah.
The hunt. I mean, the never end the hunt.
Yeah. And I guess, I mean, you could say, I guess, at the end of this movie, is just that he's going to, I guess, continue to just keep the reputation of the number one headband until the little boy, whose father he killed, comes and gets him. You know, it's just, he's going to keep that. So you say it's kind of superfluous in a way. What would you rate the movie there?
I think I'd give the movie a treatment. Like I think it's got a great aesthetic. It's got a great soundtrack. It's something that is still enjoyable to watch, but because I don't feel like it adds a lot to the narrative because it repeats some of the same beats again, I don't know if it feels like as much of a must watch as this.
Okay. Josh, do you feel like a good companion piece to the show? What would you kind of rate the movie and the show?
Yeah, so like together, I would say stream it for sure. Like it's a great start to anime for people. Like it's short. If you're a fan of the violence in anime, like it's a great start because it's short. Get right into it. It gives you a nice little taste of a lot of different styles of anime and mixed into one. Separately, I would probably rate them a little differently. But together, like the collaborative project, the whole Afro Samurai project, I give it a stream for sure.
Yeah. This was a nice project. It's very accessible. As far as the length of it, so it's not something like massive there or has all this lore attached to it. It's pretty simple to kind of understand and get into, and then it's only a movie there. It is kind of gratuitous. I don't know if many people are in that in terms of the violence, in terms of the nudity, in terms of the sex there. It can get like that. The music element of this, you know, you do have, as Josh mentioned, RZA from the Wu-Tang Clan. RZA, who is amazing producer, does amazing work with the Wu-Tang Clan there. You know, he was even a kung fu master himself and G.I. Joe. So he's got some experience there as far as being that. You also, you know, have that element, I think, and good soundtrack too. I actually listened to the soundtrack. Very good soundtrack with the show too. So if you just want to just listen to the soundtrack, it's actually good music there. Good voice work there by Samuel Jackson, how he kind of plays both of Afro Samurai and Ninja. Because Afro Samurai says, maybe you could count on probably your hand the number of words that he probably says in the entire series, including the movie. There are probably 20, 30 words there, but mostly comes from mostly Ninja there, who mostly says things, who talks like a blaxploitation type character. So you see some kind of that influence there combined into the show of the hip hop, of the soul music, of the blaxploitation kind of element of the anime with the samurai kind of element there. Good voice work all around, I think, from everybody in the cast that really adds to it, especially Ron Perlman, who I don't know if they did anything to his voice, or he just kind of talked in more of this kind of Tom Waits-ish kind of lower pitch to his voice. Because normally Ron Perlman's got pretty a big kind of deep voice there, so I don't know if he talked a little bit lower there for it. But he's very slippery and snakish in kind of the way he talks. I thought that was really good. Made for a good antagonist there. Good fight sequences, too, that are really memorable as well, that you kind of see in the series that will kind of stay with you. And if you wanted to continue more of the Afro Samurai, there's also this video game that you can kind of play there too, if you wanted to check it out. You can do that as well. I don't know if it looks the best, but I don't know, maybe it's still kind of fun. I don't know. Josh shaking his head like, nah, I'm good.
I don't know, bro. I don't even remember this coming out. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like
one of those is expensive too.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, they can keep it.
So yeah, I would, for me, I would give both the series and the movie kind of a high stream it, low kind of tune in for me there. Is that what you kind of give it to this age? You kind of gave it like that kind of element there.
For me, I'd say the movie would be a stream it, and I'd give the show a tune in.
Okay, that's pretty nice. I think that's pretty solid there. So yeah, that was our review for Afro Samurai.